I want to protect the church from anyone on the outside saying anything. I was thinking this week, and I called Martha, our financial secretary. I go, okay, Martha, I need to know. Was any money from the church, like given to the church, given for this? Because I will take it back right now. And she says, no. She goes, no, I didn't even know about it until just recently. And so best I can understand, and again, information has come to us very slow, and that's fine. We don't need to know. But from what I can understand, some individuals have done this outside of the church and on their own, but from within the church. Anyway, I just want to say thank you. We love you. We are so loved. And so let's dive into the Word. Whew, here we go. If you have your Bibles, open with me James chapter 4. As Scott mentioned, we are, this next year, we are going to focus really upon the home and how to utilize the home, the love, the welcoming, the open doors of our home for the sake of the gospel. And, you know, we talk about making disciples, and that is the mission that we have, but it happens in the home. It happens as a part of our home as we open up our lives. So it happens with our kids. It happens with our spouses. It happens as individuals. It happens with our neighbors. And so we want to talk about how do we open up our lives for the sake of the gospel. And it starts with us. It starts with you and I making changes. And so this is one of the things that, you know, I'm not a resolution guy, kind of guy. I don't make resolutions. But statistics show us that about 7 out of 10 Americans make resolutions every year. And so if that were statistic were to go through, then you look around, 70% of us would be making resolutions. And maybe you do that, which is totally fine. And but just curious, the top three, which are no surprise, and they actually tie of being the top, is eat better, exercise more, and save more money, right? Those are undoubtedly the top three. They all kind of hit at the top. The next ones fall right under those, which are get more sleep and read more. All things that we probably all. But a New Year's resolution is a promise to yourself or a decision to do something or stop doing something to improve one's behavior or life. And, you know, on this list within this survey that was given, no one mentioned what I believe is the very top, the most important thing that will radically change your life, my life, and that is pursuing the things of God. It is pursuing not just the things of God, and I want to be careful not to use abstracts or things that aren't clear, but it is literally to run to the presence of God. Last week, we celebrated Christmas and how God came and he made his self known. He came to the earth and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us, right? We celebrated that. We talked about how it's so important that we recognize that God is with us. But today, there are a couple of things that I want us to walk away being challenged by. And that is not just to say, yeah, yeah, God is with us. He's always with us. But to hone in on that. What does that even mean? How do you and I draw near to a God who is with us? How do we walk with him? How do we know him? How do we realize that, you know, one of the things in our small groups we discussed this morning is that he even said that it is better that he leave, right? Because of the promised Holy Spirit. Rodney was talking about that in our small group. And man, so true is that, that he is not, it's like it's better that he's not right here humanly with us because he has given us the Holy Spirit. He is with us. And so how do we live life with him being with us? How do we pursue him? How do we draw close to him? And so with that said, if you would and are able to, if you don't mind standing as we begin reading James chapter 4, we'll start in verse 4. You adulterous people. Very encouraging this morning, right? You adulterous people. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Enmity is just to be against or opposed to. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Father, as we seek to understand this passage this morning, I pray that as we start this new year, really, there's no difference from today than tomorrow, but as this point in time, this reference that maybe will awaken us or cause us to think about our lives, I pray that today that you would speak to our hearts. That, Lord, that we would be humbled before you today. That we would acknowledge your presence. And that we would be broken over the things in our life that have distracted us. As this scripture even says, that maybe even caused us to be against the things that you are doing. Enemy. And so, God, I pray that today that we would have our eyes opened to what you are doing, the plan that you have put into place. Lord, forgive us when we are distracted or when we make this life about something other than you. God, forgive us when we become friends with the things of this world. So, God, awaken us. Open our eyes to see. Lead us. Guide us today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. The greatest factor to change your life or to make changes in your life is to pursue God's presence daily. Bill Elliff said it this way. He says, more can happen in 5 minutes of God's manifest presence than in 50 years of our best efforts. If you and I will draw in and allow ourselves to come into the presence of God and then allow him to rearrange or to make himself at home in our lives, then changes will begin to happen. If we're honest, many of us have been Christians, and instead of moving on to maturity to become more like Christ, if we're honest and step back, we can look at our lives and really we've been in the same pattern for many years. Now, we can comparatively look at other people and say, well, I'm doing pretty good. Right? I read my Bible, I go to church, I do these things, but that's not the call, right? He doesn't say here, oh, read your Bible every day and be good and don't say certain words or do certain things. That's not the calling here. That's not the command. It is to draw close to. It is to pursue. It is to run after. We see in other places we're to be empowered. We're to be transformed. We're to be changed. It's this call on to maturity. To become like Christ. And so when we start to ask those questions, you see, well, then we easily see that we're not yet there. There's much work to be done. Which, in the next breath, you know, if like me, you've maybe tried to earn your standing with God by how much you do or how close you are or how strong or bold you are, then immediately you're like, well, there's more work to do. Let's go do that. But I want to caution us, too, not to just do a bunch of things just to do them, but instead to come into the presence of God and allow him to be able to show us things and convict us of things in our lives. You see, we can immediately identify things and do so out of rules or regulations and just say, oh, I need to stop doing these things. But it's until the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes in our life that we, with joy, lay it aside. Does that make sense? Otherwise, I'll do it out of duty or because I'm supposed to. But when the Holy Spirit begins to show me and convict my heart of things or bring a brokenness before me in my life as I stand before God, well, see, I will with joy then lay those things aside because I realize what he has to offer is way better. Actually, it's best for me. And so let's jump in and seek to understand. He first starts off and he says, you adulterous people. And When you look at the context here, he's talking about the things that divide us or bring quarrels or things in which our lives that cause us to look like the people of the world. And he calls us adulterous people because we have forsaken the covenant that God has made with us. In other words, we are sinners. We have fallen short. This isn't the first time that God has called his people adulterous. He calls Israel that often throughout the Word of God. We see him do so in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 8. He says, she saw that for all the adulteries of the faithless one Israel, he said, I had sent her away with a decree of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she too went and played the whore. Or in Hosea here, he calls Hosea to picture what Israel has done. And it says, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, and for the land commits great whoredom for forsaking the Lord, right? He's in other words, picturing or showing how they have gone against the covenant that God has set with them. They have disobeyed, or how they have been faithless and or not faithful in following him. But he goes on and he talks about being a friend of the world. You see, here is where we are tempted, that we are tempted by the things of this world to be like everyone else. Or we are, or as James would say, you and I are tempted when we are dragged away and enticed by our own evil desires. You see, we live in this world and we have and are tempted to become friends of the world or to make this our home. This is what we see the world doing. You see, if it's all about this place, then I must do everything I can to make this the best. And so then it's all about comforts. It's all about securities. It's all about what is going to make this better. And so you run after wealth. You'll run after pleasures. You'll run after everything that this world has to offer. But that is not the calling that he has placed upon us. He has called us to run after him. He tells us in Philippians, Paul writes about how people live as enemies of God. He says, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you, even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. And here in Philippians, he's actually talking about people in the church and from among them. There were people among them who were living their lives as enemies of God. And so today, I believe that he is calling us, you and I, as the church, to wake up, to open our eyes, to run after the things of God. Because if we're not careful, we will choose the things of this world instead of the things of God. In verse 4, he puts it this way. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The person who wishes to be a friend of the world or runs after the things that this world has to offer, meaning they're pursuing, what they're doing is they're neglecting the kingdom of or the things of God in pursuit of the things of this world. So you're wishing after the things that this world has to offer. 2 Peter 2 would say it this way, for it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. In other words, there are people who hear the things of God, and even though it may sound good to them, they turn their back to the things of God and run after still the things of this world. And I don't believe here he's talking about losing. I think it's here he's saying, that sounds really good, but I prefer these things. And so be careful that that is not you. That you are not, yeah, that all sounds good and fine, but I still am the God of my own life, and I'm going to pursue what I want to pursue. And so in verse 5, he talks about here, or do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? Now, there has been great debate over what this passage right here or this verse means, because this verse or this quote is not found in Old Testament Scripture. So it's, what is he quoting here? Some have believed that it to mean that this spirit that is within us is the spirit of man, is the sinful spirit. And so that spirit is running after the desires of the flesh, and therefore he is contrasting that with running after the things of God. Or some would say that this is actually talking about, maybe he's quoting or pointing to what Old Testament is as a whole is stating, that we are to pursue the things of God and not the things of world, and that the spirit is his spirit that he has put in us. And that contrasts the things of this world. Again, we're not really clear on exactly what this verse means. But the point is, and the whole contrast of the passage as a whole, is that we are not to run after the things of this world or make this our kingdom. God has already called you to be a part of his kingdom. Therefore, we're to pursue him and his kingdom. And so as we think about this new year, what does that mean for you and I as we start this new year? As we maybe close a chapter on one, and some of us who have maybe had a rough year are like, well, thank God that one's over. Maybe this one will be better. I want to challenge us with some perspective things. The first one is, just as you think about perspective of life, first off, clearly this is not our home. And so if it's been a rough year, you may have more rough years. This may be not any better, or maybe, in compared to the things of this world, worse. But does not in any way signify that God is not still on the throne. Amen? Because he tells us that in going through hard times and trials actually draws us closer to him. It builds faith as we pursue him. And I love what he says here in verse 6. He says, but he gives more grace. Even as you go through the storms or the trials or the valleys, as we talked about last week, whatever it is that you're walking through or going through, I want to tell you there is grace that is sufficient for that storm, for that valley, for that day, for that moment. I told you before, a long time ago, about Lindsay's cousin, who they actually lost their son at a young age, and one of the things as they were walking through this as he had this brain tumor is that God is sufficient for the next 15 minutes. I'm just trusting him for the next 15 minutes. And man, that has come to my mind so many times, and I would challenge you to think about that as well. There is grace. Maybe not for tomorrow yet, but I'm not there yet, right? But there's grace for right now. And so if you will run to him and cling to him and call to him, it is sufficient for right now. If that is to make the right choice in the middle of that situation, there's grace. There's more grace for right now. And when you get to it here in 15 minutes for the next one, oh, there's grace there. And tomorrow, when you get to that, there is grace right then, right? Because we will never be tempted, if we're talking about sin or temptation, we'll never be tempted beyond our capability, because he always provides a way out. And there's grace right there in that moment. And so we can trust him. We can look to him. Pride. Pride is one of the things that we struggle with, because it speaks to, I can do this, right? I can do it on my own. And if I just work harder, or if I just make this decision, or if I can just stop doing this, you see, it's all about my ability. But humility already goes to the front of the whole thing and already begins to say, I can't do it. I'm weak. I'm flawed. And in that, it requires you and I to run then to the feet or to the throne of our God. And as we run to the throne and as we call out to him again, more grace is given. And so we can trust him and we can call to him. Isaiah 66, verse 2 says, but this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. I love that. Matthew 23:12 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. You and I, as followers of Christ, if we are going to claim to be a follower of Christ, but yet pridefully pursue or become a friend of the things of this world, then I would say with the greatest of love, then you might be deceived. because he calls us not to be a friend or to pursue the things of this world or to make this our home. We have some clear commands. In verse 7, he begins to tell us some clear commands that we're to have. And just as you're thinking about commands, any time that we have commands or see commands in Scripture, if it says don't do something, it's not to heap condemnation on us or to even heap on these burdens, but instead it is to don't harm yourself, right? It is a God who loves us and knows what's best, and he's saying don't do this because it promises things it will never fulfill on, so don't do them. Or when it says to do these things, he is telling us that pursue these things because they're best. And so here he gives us some commands, and I want you to hear them, but I want you to hear them in that context. Don't do these things that he says because it's best for you. They'll harm you. But do these things because they also are best for you. And so here's what he says. He says to submit to God. Submit is something in our culture that we struggle with. It is a submit or to humble ourselves. And really this word humble ourselves, I believe, is more of a picture of to be humbled by. Because really, can we humble ourselves? And if you would say, yes, I have humbled myself, then that's kind of an arrogant statement in and of itself, right? Yes, I have humbled myself before the Lord. But better it is in the presence of or in compared to or when you realize who God is, you are humbled by him, right? When you realize the power or the majesty or the grace that has been given or the gift that has been given, you are humbled by him. And man, what a clear picture that is. But to submit to or to be humbled by, it is this picture of soldiers lining up under commanding officers. It is a servant to their master. It is being in complete obedience to a king. It is this picture of you and I laying down our control and handing it over to the one who is in all control. And then he says, resist the devil. Now, this is a clear picture of even Ephesians 6, of putting on the armor of God, suiting up for battle. It is that we are to resist, and that as we resist, that he will flee from us. And so we are to stand up against the schemes or the systems or the promises of the enemy. I will, just as a side note, say that there is one that we are commanded not even to stand up against, but to flat out flee, and that is the sexual sins or temptations. Flee from those, right? Don't stand and try to fight. No, no, no. Flee. Run. Get out of the situation. Some of you, someone here needs to hear that. If there is a temptation that comes in a certain moment or time, flee. Don't let yourself be in that situation. If there is a certain person that you know is already starting to flirt or to be and say things that are flattering, I want to tell you, flee, run from it. The pain and the fallout of that is far too great. Do not stand, but instead flee, run from it. Don't let yourself get some help. Maybe mention to someone else, get some accountability in those situations. But resist. Turn from him. It says that we can take our stand against him. The third one here, and one that I want to focus on here this morning, is to draw near to God. And the promise is then he will draw near to you. I love the picture here of the prodigal son, right? When the son found or came to the end of himself and he started to go back home, even while he was a long ways off, the father runs to him. Oh, if you and I will draw near to God, he will draw near to us. This is the promise that he gives. I love how Hebrews 4:16 says it. He says, let us then with confidence. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can approach the presence of God not fearful, not as though we, but with confidence. Why? Because of the price that has been paid upon the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? We can go to the throne of grace with confidence. The throne of God. We can go and receive his grace, receive his mercy, so that he will help us in our time of need. And I don't know about you, but my time of need comes moment by moment. So, what does this mean then to draw near? Just to define it for us, it is to time spent alone daily enjoying the presence of God. Now, here's what we do, and you'll notice that he didn't say here to read your Bible every day. He didn't say that. He didn't say to, go and read your devotional. He didn't say that. He said, draw near to God. And I put it that way because if you're like me, you can set these things in motion and they can become so routine that you miss the power and the presence of God even within very good things. Are we to read the Bible? Yes, but why? Am I to read the Bible so that I can walk away going, okay, I did it today, and then I'll run on to the things that I do in life? No, I'm to read the Bible so that I learn about the God who loved me, who sent Jesus to die on the cross for me, that in knowing more about him, I worship this God. And as I worship this God, I draw into his presence, understanding my need for him. But here's what we do. I remember when I was young and we would ride on the bus, and I remember there would be those annoying kids that, just would all the time just annoy, you know what I'm talking about. Not to be, don't point anyone or anything, but I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe you were that kid, I don't know. But I remember there was one time on the bus where there was one kid, he goes, you better be quiet or I'm going to put you in the box. And I was like, what is the box? You know, what is he talking about? And sure enough, man, kid wasn't quiet, so he goes, all right. He reached in his pocket, and he goes, and he put the box on this kid. And you know what the box meant? The box meant that we could not see him or hear him any longer. So the kid would talk, and then this kid, did you hear something? You know? And it would go on, and the kid would just continue to be annoyed, but everyone would just continue on like he's not there and be like, man, did you hear? And this is what he did, and it even made him more mad. Are you ready? He would open the door to the box, and he'd go, hey, did you say something? And then as the kid would get ready, he'd shut it. Oh, kids, don't use that, all right? But I say that to say, is that not what we do with God sometimes? We go, and it's like we come to the morning time, and we're like, okay, let me crack this thing open a little bit. God, are you there? Did you have something? You know, I'm going to read. And just as we, you know, get ready, get into, have read his word and start thinking about, then all these thoughts flood. And it's like we just shut the door. And we're like, we move on and we go on to life. We continue on to the everyday worries and struggles and pursuits. And maybe on Sunday morning, we'll crack it open again and be like, hey, you got anything? And then we go on. But man, he's not an annoying God. He's not someone that he is on the throne and has all power and authority and wants to use us. More than that, he has supplied us and filled us with this presence of the power of the Holy Spirit for you and I to go and to be the light in this dark world. Amen? So we run and we draw close. And so how do we do that? Two things and we'll be done. First, acknowledge his presence. Acknowledge his presence. Emmanuel, God with us. He's not just with us in some sort of abstract way or, oh, God is all around. No, no, no. He is with us and in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge that. And so for me, something that I am beginning to do is each morning that I would get up that more than I need anything else today, God, I need you. Help me to know you as I read your word, to hear from you, to submit to you. Rearrange the things in my life. Show me the things in my life that are not like you. Here I am. And Lord, as I walk this day, as I'm going, open my eyes to see those who are hurting or those who have no hope or those who are far from you, and let me be a vessel that you use. Here I am. I submit to you. Right? And then as I crawl up into his presence, as I draw near to him, that I will listen, that I won't be so quick to run after and get involved, that I won't let my phone or TV or other things be a distraction, but instead I would realize who it is that I am talking to, that I would draw near to the throne of grace. As we do that, we will humble ourselves before the Lord. We will allow Him. I love 2 Chronicles 7:14, very familiar verse to many of you. If my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Listen, you and I, it's not about some sort of quick devotion. It's not about some just setting aside a little bit of time in the morning just as a check-the-box thing. It is about you and I running after, seeking the presence of God. As he continues to talk about, he says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. There's a response that begins to happen. And in this response, I believe that it will lead us to a place of brokenness. So the second thing I want us to see is that we are to be broken before God. There should become this brokenness. We see this all throughout Scripture. Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 6. He comes before the presence of God and he says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. Right? Woe is me. As soon as he enters the presence, there is this brokenness that comes to him. Even Peter in the boat, as he pulls up this catch of fish, he falls on his face before Jesus in the same way and says, I am a man of unclean lips. Oh, depart from my presence. You see, there should become this brokenness that you and I have as we come into the presence of God, realizing that he is right there. And a couple of things happen. The first one is there's some open, outward things that begin to happen. And he says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Cleanse your hands. It's not just to go wash them to get the dirt off, but it is this picture of this ceremonial clean. It is this, get the filth out of your life. Get the sin that distracts and all the things that hinder you from looking like Jesus. Get them out of your life. And so there should be some outward things that begin to change. For whatever reason, in our culture, we live in a culture that says you can be a Christian but yet still run after whatever you want in this world. Listen, that is not found in the Word of God. There is a call that you and I are holy because He is holy. There is a call that you and I look like Jesus. Therefore, it is no longer my life that I live, but instead it is Christ who lives in me and through me. This is the call. So as we start this new year, let us acknowledge His presence, but then let us Him begin to cleanse the things out of our lives. The way you talk, filth that comes out of your mouth. Maybe it's a critical spirit. Maybe it is the way that you get angry quickly. Maybe it's the way that you specific actions that you have or attitudes or responses. Whatever it is, acknowledge it. As I even start saying some things, I didn't mention a lot of them. Why? But you know them. The Lord's already shown you. Take it serious. Cleanse your hands. Come before Him. Confess it. Agree with God that it is wrong. Confess it. Turn from it. Trust Him. Embrace His forgiveness. Then as we are broken, we draw near, and He will draw near to us. And so today, as we think about what does this mean for this new year, what does this mean in the way of application, how do I take steps to become more mature or to be closer in my walk or to acknowledge His presence as I do, I want to challenge you with a few things. Fasting has become something that we just read about in the Bible. But maybe in your life, fasting has not ever been a discipline that you have done. I want to challenge you to set a day in which you will fast. Now listen, I know there's health things, there's all sorts of things that maybe you need to consult somebody, I don't know. But and if it's specifically not food, which I think always in Scripture we see that it is food, but I just want to challenge you. Maybe it, for you it can't be, so maybe you can make it something, that's fine. But I want to challenge you to set something aside that your body, literally the inside of your body, will begin to yearn after, and you would say, God, let me yearn for you the way that my body yearns. for this food? Oh, pursue him, right? If I'm to draw near to him, what else can I do to draw near but to lay aside something that my body needs that I know it's going to start crying out for? Let us, that is my prayer when I fast, is Lord, let me cry out to you the way my body does for this food. Maybe it's for a specific thing. Lord, I need to overcome this sin or this struggle or this hindrance, stronghold. Maybe it's for the someone that doesn't even know God in your life that you would fast for that person on behalf of them, that God would speak to their heart. I don't know. Maybe it's just you've gotten away from God, and so this will be a way in which you would draw close to him. But I want to challenge you. How would God lead you to do that? As we talk about spending or pursuing time with God, maybe you just haven't been. Then an easy first step for you would be to plan. Plan to spend time with God. Set an alarm. The nice thing about alarms on phones is you can set it reoccurring every day that it goes off at that time, or multiple times a day. Whatever the case is, you have to take steps. Nothing will change unless you trust the Lord to do that. Is the Lord leading you to do something? And if he is, acknowledge that it's him. Prepare your life for it. Maybe for someone here, it is to go. It is to go and to make God known. There are going to be some opportunities to go on mission trips coming up. Here are a list of a few of them. Next slide, please. Is there one more? Yeah. In Suriname, right now it's February. 17th is going to be part of that. I may actually go a few days before that to help kind of set up the next time we go, which I'm hoping to do medical. More about that when I realize that it is going to be able to happen. Vacation Bible School will be March 18th through the 23rd. It's spring break this year. This is a great way that you can intentionally set aside some of your life so that you can intentionally impact the kids that come. One of the things we found with the last year that we did this is a much higher percentage of unchurched families come to our spring break vacation Bible school. Guatemala, this is a water well trip. It is one that will fill up pretty quick. If you would be interested in going to Guatemala, this is an amazing trip. Depending on even physical ability, there's not much. It's not really hard. Like, it's not shoveling the whole time. Even if you can't shovel and can't do anything physical, a lot of times these water wells are by a school or at least in a community with a school to where we're able to go in and teach hygiene and share the gospel. When I went to Honduras, we went into one, and my first trip to Honduras, and there was over 200 kids that we got to share the gospel with. And many of them responded in faith. It was amazing. And then we knew that discipleship was going to come around behind. Mobile Missions. This is a Tulsa mission trip. Mobile Missions is an organization that my great friend Mike LaHue has started. And they go into apartment complexes and mobile home parks and build community within those for the sake of sharing the gospel. Listen, if sharing the gospel is something that brings anxiety or worry to you, man, it's things like this that you go specifically for the gospel that will challenge and put you in situations that will cause you to trust in God. And when we trust in him and we realize that he is faithful, man, he challenges us, he grows us and leads us. And then Serve Skytook. This will look a lot like the mobile missions trip, but it is one that we're going to be doing with our church family here in Skytook at the end of the summer, specifically here in Skytook, going to different areas of ministry. It's going to be really nice and cool during this time of year, so it'll be a great time to come and to work alongside. You know, I mean, but listen, it'll be, where better to do a mission trip than our own community? Amen? Isn't that exciting? And then one of the things we're looking at, we're trying to coordinate with our missionaries there in Vietnam and talk with them about being able to go and see and meet unreached people groups, specifically the one in which we have adopted. And looking forward to that. Don't have a date for that yet, but talking with them, trying to get those nailed down. But I want to tell you, as you can tell, February 17th, this is a month and a half away, right? So it's got to happen quick. If you believe God might be calling you to go to the jungle with me for 10 days or so, help build a church in the jungle, hey, come on, right? It's pretty awesome. There's some guys that have been that can tell you more about it, but I'm going to need to know pretty quick. But anyway, other than that, I need you to show. So going back to one up slide to the application. Here it is, and we'll be done. Are you ready? Application. First is, have you trusted in Jesus? Hebrews chapter 4 said, we can approach the throne with confidence. There's only one way that we can approach the throne with confidence, and that is because there has been someone who has already paid for our sin. Oh, this is so good. Don't miss this. You see, you and I are sinners. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But we have a God who loves us so much. He loves us. He loves you. And listen, He knows you. He knows what you've done. He knows what you did last summer. I mean, He knows, right? He knows everything you've ever thought. He knows the people that you've hurt. He knows the things that you've run after, and yet He still loves you. And He sent Jesus to come, to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, and ultimately to go to the cross to pay for your sin. The wages of sin is death. Someone had to die, and Jesus died on the cross, paying the price for your sin. And He tells us that if we would believe in Him, believe in His payment, believe that He died for us, believe that He is God, and that He didn't just come and just some random guy die, but He's God. And we know He's God because He rose from the dead, victorious over death. If we'd believe in Him and trust in Him, make Him our Lord, that we would be forgiven of our sin, and that we would enter His presence with confidence, that one day when we die, we will live. One day when we breathe our last breath on this earth, we will go on to the kingdom that He has already called us to be a part of. You see, today, I want to challenge you, as we start this new year, is today the day in which, just like Sophie said from the baptistry, God called her name. God was speaking to her heart. Maybe God is speaking to your heart today. Would you surrender your life to Him? Would you believe in Him? Would you trust Him? Then you can do that right now. You know, there's no certain words. There's no magic words that if you say it this way, just right, poof, it happens. It is you believing in Jesus. And you can do that right now. You can bow before Him. We've already talked about this whole time, about Him being right here with us. And you can speak to Him and trust that He hears you. So you can confess, God, I know that I have sinned against You. I know that. That's so easy for me to see. I know that I'm deserving of the punishment and the wrath of Your wrath, but today I believe in Jesus. I believe that He died for me. I believe that I am forgiven because of what He has done. Would You forgive me? Would You heal me? Would You make me new? Oh, the promise of Scripture is that if we would believe in Him, we would be made new. We'd be forgiven. We'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that we would walk with Him and we'd be transformed. One thing. What is one thing you will do to pursue God's presence? Maybe it's fast. Maybe it's set a time that every day you're going to get up and you're going to pursue. Not just read the Bible, but pursue His presence. Acknowledge that He is there. Be broken before Him, knowing, humbled before Him, knowing who He is. Or maybe God, maybe today you would ask, God, where are You sending me? How can I make You known? How can I grow on to maturity to be like You? Let's bow before the Lord. Father, today we want to thank You so much for Your word, the challenge that You have given us through James. And we ask, Lord, today that as we start this new year, again, there's really no difference between today and tomorrow, but the Lord, as we come before You today, I pray that You would show us and lead us. For some, it may be that today they surrender to you. They put their faith and their trust in you. God, are you speaking to them right now? Give them a courage and a boldness to acknowledge that and to call to you even in this moment. Lord, I pray that today, as followers of you all across this room, that there would be something that you would show us today that would draw us closer to you, that would lead us to pursue you in our lives. Lord, if there are some that need to just set a time that they're going to spend with you, I pray that they don't just talk about it, that they don't just think it in their mind, but today would be a day that they say, no. Lord, you are worth it. You have commanded us to draw close to you. Here I am. I'm going to set it. I'm going to do it. Lord, I pray that if there are some here who believe that they need to even go beyond that and maybe fast and set alone a time, or maybe to join in into discipleship in some way, or to be held accountable by someone else, I pray that they make those steps and they tell somebody. Lord, if there's someone else that, as they know and believe that you are calling them to go, to set a time, a week, to make you known specifically and purposefully, Lord, lead their hearts, speak to them, help them to be obedient to that call. God, we love you. We ask today that you would show us, help us to acknowledge your presence, help us to be humbled by you when we acknowledge and when we know that you are here. God, speak to us today. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray.